It doesn't happen very often, but every once in a while, even I can amaze my teenage children. Just like the other day, I was driving my two oldest, Natalie and Lawson, home from our first youth group gathering of the school year out at Sky Zone. And we're heading west on the interstate, admiring these spectacular dark cloud formations that are in front of us. And they're backlit by the glow of the sun with an occasional bolt of lightning flashing up the sky. It was beautiful. We ended up heading north on 412 because on the way we had to pick up my youngest, Weston, from a friend's house. And so as we're traveling, up ahead of us, we could see it. The clouds touching down in the near distance. This thick wall of rain 1,000 feet in front of us. And then 500 feet, 200 feet, and then boom, we are immersed in heavy showers with its loud sound pounding overhead. What are we going to do, Lawson asked, when we pick up Weston? There's so much rain. But I said not to worry because it'll all clear up by the time we get there. Yeah, right, Dad. How do you know that? I mean, look, it's everywhere. It's just pouring. But trust me, you'll see. You'll see. But instead, he opens up his weather app on his phone. Yeah, he's going to take a look at the radar. After which he declares, "See, Dad, we're right in the middle of all the red and the yellow. We're surrounded by rain. It's not going to clear up. How can you be so sure?" he says. "Because I'm not looking at the radar, son. I'm looking up at the sky. And I can see which way the storm is moving. Look, the clouds are starting to break in the west. Rays of light are beginning to peep their way through. By the time we get to their home, all will be well." And still, these two teenagers thought their father to be out of his mind. But you know what happened next, right? The closer we got to our destination, the more the rain lightened, the more the skies cleared, and the more the sun broke through. And Natalie and Lawson couldn't believe it. They were utterly awed and astonished by my forecasting powers. That's right, a priest and a meteorologist. Such a great feeling. But yeah, I know, it's really not that amazing, is it? I mean, it doesn't take a meteorologist to interpret the skies. Humans have been making these kinds of observations for hundreds of thousands of years. Even Jesus, in our gospel passage today from Luke 12, takes this kind of forecasting as basic. Clouds rolling in from the Mediterranean, everybody knows what that means. The rain is coming. A strong wind from the hot and dusty desert in the south, everybody knows what that means. Stifling heat is on its way. That's right, anybody can look up at the skies and see what's on the horizon. If we're standing outside paying attention, we're not going to miss the movement. We're not going to miss the moment when it comes to the movements of wind and rain. And yet, at the same time, so many of us miss the moment when it comes to the movements of spirit and fire, when it comes to the actions of God in the world. That's what is so exasperating for Jesus in our story today, that when it comes to the weather, people's perceptions are right on point. But when it comes to what's going on all around them, what God is actually up to, that same kind of perception goes right out the window. Why can't they see it? From the Roman occupation to the oppressive regime of Herod, from the wealthy and arrogant high priest in Jerusalem to the false agendas of the Pharisees. And in the middle of it all, there's a young prophet traveling from village to village announcing the arrival of God's kingdom. He's healing the sick, casting out demons, lifting up the downtrodden. Why can't they put two and two together and realize that this is the moment that Israel's history has been waiting for, really that all of creation has been longing for? Why can't they see what God is doing right under their noses in the person of Jesus? You can kind of feel the hurt in Jesus' voice, you know, the disappointment. The Son of God has come into the world. The kingdom of God has drawn near. The temperature is rising. The winds of the Spirit are blowing. And yet, even still, everybody is missing the moment. How can this be? I believe we can chalk this up to a key shift in Jesus' messaging. Really an expansion of his message. You see, in Luke's narrative thus far, the ministry of Jesus has been full of energy and excitement, eye-catching, crowd-attracting, and almost pageantry-like bursts of goodness parading all over the place and being eagerly received by almost everyone. I mean, who wouldn't be drawn to a charismatic prophet and miracle worker like this? But that's when something changes, something shifts. Ever since Jesus set his face toward Jerusalem back in chapter 9, his demands are now coming more sharply into focus. He's not only showering goodness upon this parched landscape, he's making more explicit what it means to be a part of his movement, what it requires of people if they are to inherit this kingdom that is coming upon them. And so Jesus begins to say things like this: "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you follow me." Or, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." Or, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me." So that now people are left scratching their heads. The crowds are thinning. The resistance to his ministry is building. Yes, we are fine to receive the things that we want from Jesus, but now it appears he wants something from us. Now it seems like this is going to cost us something. And not just something, but our very lives, our very plans, our possessions, and yes, even our own people. Man, this all sounded too good to be true when he would say things like, "I have come to bring good news to the poor, liberty to the captives, and freedom for the oppressed." Or, "I have come so that you might have life and have it more abundantly." Or, "I have come to give you rest, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light." We can all get on board with this kind of messaging, can't we? And certainly, these things are true. It's just that now, he's upping the ante, saying things like, "I have come to bring fire. I have come to bring division. I have come to set one family member against another." Not very seeker sensitive, if you ask me. I mean, this kind of rhetoric does not sit well with us. And neither did it sit well with the crowd in Jesus' day. I mean, surely this can't be what God intends. Surely this can't be a movement of the Spirit. And so what do? They walk away. Some even throw stones. Most, however, just turn towards something else. Maybe they turn inward to their own agenda or ambition. But whatever it is, they miss the moment. The moment, ironically, they had been waiting for all along. I think this is representative of so many Christians today, especially here in the American South. People who are raised to be good Christian Americans, which too often means that you have your ticket to heaven in one hand and a portfolio of blessings in the other. So that here in the South, just about everybody is Christian by name, content to play the game, content to keep receiving from Jesus, and just as content to leave it at that. And just like that, they miss the moment. The tragedy of it all is that we've had 2,000 years to reflect upon this moment. Man, it is much too easy to point a finger at those living in first century Palestine. Why didn't you see what God was doing in the person of Jesus? Why didn't you embrace his way as the way God's kingdom would come to earth? I would never make that mistake. And yet 2,000 years later, we do it every day. We miss the moment. We live as if the entire course of human history turned its corner, not with the arrival of Jesus, but maybe with the dawn of the Enlightenment, or with the founding of this country, or with the advent of technology, or maybe even with the election of a president. So that in all of these scenarios, our faith need only be something kept on the side. Something that helps us live out another story, typically a story of our own choosing. But no, Jesus is saying, I have inaugurated a new world, a new way to be human, a new way to live with others, to relate to others. And this new order will drastically reprioritize your values, reorganize your ambitions, reconfigure even your own relationships. So that, yes, of course, you will experience a new level of peace in this world, but you will also experience a certain amount of hostility, of division, of grief, even perhaps within your own family. Because this new world does not play well with the ways of the world that we live in. Listen, Jesus is not one to try a bait and switch. No, he wants to shoot us straight. I am the life, he says. I have come to give you true joy and peace and love and bring it to this world. But it does come with a cost. It does come with loss. And if you are not willing to embrace that, then you're going to miss the moment. Sometimes we need to hear this, don't we? We need to be reminded that this thing that we are a part of, this thing that we have given our lives to, it isn't just so that we can become nice people. It isn't just a new way to be religious or a new way to be spiritual or to have a well-balanced life. No, this thing is radical. This thing is revolutionary. So that if you give yourself fully to Jesus, guess what? He will upend your life. But the good news is, unlike the crowds in Jesus' day and unlike the crowds in our day, you will not miss the moment. Your life will be lived at the intersection of heaven and earth. If you pay attention, if you give yourself to the way of Jesus, you will get caught up in the winds of the Spirit, and the kingdom of God will be made manifest to you and through you. Listen, that moment that Jesus inaugurated 2,000 years ago is still available to us today, even as Christians, especially to us as Christians. Every day, when you go to work, when you go to class, when you are misrepresented, when you balance your checkbook, when you are harmed by a friend, when you raise your children, when you speak to a stranger, these are all moments not to be missed. Each of these opportunities to put into practice the radical ways of Jesus and then to see what happens next. These are invitations for the goodness of God to flow through your life. Are you missing these moments? In all of these instances and more, are we able to catch a glimpse of God's kingdom touching down in front of us? Can we put two and two together and perceive how the arrival of Jesus and the giving of his Spirit changes everything? It's what we've been waiting for. It's what all of creation has been longing for. If only we will seize the way of Jesus. My friends, may we never be a people who miss the moment. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill our hearts and our imaginations to see the new world that you have brought and that you are bringing through Christ and his Spirit. May we not be a people content to set our faith on the side, but may the way of Jesus illuminate our entire lives, and may we lean into that and take advantage of every moment as an opportunity to live in that new reality. We pray this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.